Can a supermarket chain get too big? I'm David Brancaccio. Two of the biggest supermarket chains in the country this morning said they've worked out a deal to merge. If antitrust regulators approve, this would combine a number of brand names that you may know. Vaughn's, Ralph's, Safeway. Okay, Nova, that's your cue.
Okay, David. Food for Less, King's, Pavilions, Lucky, Fred Meyer, Pick and Save. I could go on, but I won't. The two parent companies we're talking about are Kroger, the nation's biggest grocery chain, and Albertsons, which is the second biggest. The agreement has Kroger buying Albertsons for a deal valued at about $25 billion to be paid for in cash and debt. The two companies together have almost 5,000 store locations. They point out, though, that their footprints don't overlap very much. They expect to spin off between 100 and 375 of their stores, David.
Now, this merger deal comes at a time when the Biden people are increasing their scrutiny of corporate tie-ups. What's the argument for these two chains coming together?
Well, the argument, David, really is one other name, and that's Walmart. Kroger and Albertsons are the biggest grocery chains, but they're not the biggest grocer. Walmart has the largest share of the market in the U.S., somewhere around 20 to 25%. Kroger and Albertsons combined account for about 13% or so of the grocery market. The argument Kroger is making this morning is that a combined company can be better positioned to lower expenses, raise wages, and compete in this inflationary environment. Now, on the other side of this argument, of course, is that combining Kroger and Albertsons would create a huge company and reduce competition. And the Biden administration, as you said, has been scrutinizing competition in various industries, so you can expect they'll be doing that here as well.
All right. Marketplace's Nova Safo. Thank you. For really no reason, the Dow went up 827 points yesterday, 2.8%. It had been down by more than 500 points early in the day. This despite the confirmation this week that inflation is clingy. It's the first time we've seen that kind of swing in a day measured in points, not percentages. This morning, stock index futures are mixed. The Dow is up 0.1%. Futures for the NASDAQ are down 0.2%. After 3 weeks of extreme bond market volatility in Britain, triggered by London's move to borrow a lot to pay for tax cuts, the new prime minister there, Liz Truss, will brief reporters in about 2 hours where she may alter the course of her new policy. After the surge of people applying for unemployment benefits during deep pandemic, governments sent some money to ineligible recipients, and now Texas has sent notices to about 1.5 million people asking for the money back. But critics say Texas is being too aggressive and its fraud detection too often flags the wrong people. Texas joins a growing number of states being sued over their unemployment systems. Texas Public Radio's Paul Flav reports.
Catherine Tapia was laid off in March 2020 from a daycare in Harlingen. So she applied for unemployment.
I started receiving payments. Everything was going fine.
She was one of the 2.5 million Texans who applied for unemployment in the first 3 months of the pandemic. That's somewhere between 10 and 20 times the number in an average year.
And then all of a sudden, I want to say maybe around September, I started receiving letters of overpayment.
The Texas Workforce Commission said she wasn't unemployed, that she had a job in North Carolina and in South Carolina and one in Delaware. According to state records, Tapia is one of 250,000 Texans sent an overpayment notice due to an ID theft issue. David Mock with the Texas Rio Grande Legal Aid says Texas Workforce Commission, or TWC, is kicking people off unemployment without due process, and that breaks the law.
The law is very clear that the TWC, before it determines someone has been overpaid, needs to consult that person and get their response.
Texas tried to get money back from 1.5 million people between 2020 and 2021, and 500,000 Texans have appealed. The state also tried to seize the federal tax returns of 31,000 residents. Texas isn't the only state being sued over its practices. Rhode Island, Michigan, and Maryland have also been sued. Michelle Evermore oversees unemployment insurance modernization for the U.S. Department of Labor. Her office offered guidance on when states can waive overpayments of pandemic unemployment dollars.
We're trying to identify scenarios in which the state made a mistake and people got overpaid, but it wasn't their fault. The money's long gone, and we should really try to hold some of these people harmless when they've made innocent errors.
But in Texas, between March 2020 and June 2021, the state rejected people's overpayment waivers about 90% of the time. In San Antonio, I'm Paul Flav for Marketplace.
And the IRS is trying to contact about 9 million people who haven't filed for their advanced child care credit that they're due If you are eligible and don't apply, you're leaving about $3,600 on the table. This week, we've been running our series on money, politics, and whether campaign donors, what have I been calling them, secret Santas. Are they secret Santas who spend big, but voters never know it's them? Voters in Arizona next month will decide whether some of the biggest campaign spenders should have to reveal their true identities.
Americans for Peanut Butter or Americans for a Better Tomorrow.
If 211 passes, I certainly expect a constitutional challenge.
It was devastating.
And I think both sides have come to realize it's sort of a weapon of mass destruction that isn't really helping anybody.
We are putting up a special podcast version of the story, one show, Secret Money Public Influence, for your on-demand listening. It's full of teachable moments, I think, about the mystery money in campaigns, citizen efforts to get sources of money identified, and the pushback from those who believe anonymity should be part of the right to free speech. It'll be at the top of this very Marketplace Morning Report podcast feed starting later today and through the weekend. Our digital producer is Redmond Caralipio. Our engineers are Jessen Dueler, Brian Allison, and Nick Esposito. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.